I'll tell you. I said that maybe, you know, I should say if the youth raised $5,000, I'd shave my head. I said, no, I know somebody would just give $5,000 to see that. I'm not doing it. And that, Dean, is why people think I'm fun. There's an awful lot of stuff up here. This church is a reason, in a great way, why I am here and can preach this morning. We came to Glendive 12 years ago, and we've had three pastors since we came, and they have all encouraged me, supported me, and even some have pushed me along to do this. Our church started the Grandview services through Brother Furco, and when he had to leave, the pastor then asked me to do it, and I said, I can't preach. I don't, you know, I've taught Sunday school, and that's, you know, what I feel qualified to do. And I was pushed and encouraged. The Baptist church asked me to take over the vet's home because their pastor left. And so, you know, God pushed me into all of these things that I do Sunday evening. But this church has prayed for me, helped me to go along and do what I do, and I so appreciate you. I appreciate the very fact that you're here this morning, because many of you knew I'd be preaching, and yet you still came. So, I thank you. I really do appreciate you. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, that you're willing to let me do this too. This is the first time that I'm not using handwritten notes. Wow. I mean, I always just use my handwritten notes. So I graduated this morning. It's all tight. Look at that. I am really up and coming, aren't I? Well, don't plan on that. There was a reason this happened, but the title of the message this morning is Letting Go. Father, we're so thankful that in your power and in your strength, we can let go of things in our lives that hinder our walk with you, that stop up your blessings in our lives. Help us, Jesus, this morning to receive this message and to feel the power and strength of the Holy Spirit to obey your word and to let things go. Amen. You know, life is full of letting go. In the fall, we see the leaves leave the trees and this town gets bare. But if the leaves don't do that, we won't have new growth. The trees have to let it go. And it's the same in our lives. There are things we must learn to let go in order to have new growth in Christ and Him to have His way in us. There was a time in our life, Greg and I, when we had to actually walk away from the homes that we grew up in, the state we grew up in, our parents, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, our nieces and nephews, our friends. And we left Maine to go to his duty station in California. We were married 2 weeks, and we left to go to California. And we felt the leaving of everything behind. Of course, many times homesick, many times longing for what we had let go. But because we were able to do that, and God led in our lives to do that, we were able to build a marriage, just the two of us together. And God's been good to this marriage. December, 57 years. It was good for us to let go, even though it was hard. Granddaughter Dana, who some of you know, she got married and she actually went to college over in Moorhead. And then she married a boy over there from Fargo. And after they were married, their church they were attending were having a family day. And she called her mom, and she very whiny said, "You know, why can't any of my family come? You know, it's family day. I want my family there." Well, almost all of us are in ministry, and Sunday, you just don't up and go away. And none of us were going to be able to go over there. And her mother said, "Dana, your husband Jamie is your family now." Some of you know what it is to let go. She had to let go. The point I want to make with that story is God is so faithful. When you let go and you just go ahead with what God wants, He will bless you and you'll find it's really for the best. And it's been a few years now and three babies for them later. But she's now back with her family in Havre as the choir director of Havre High School, and her husband's a preacher there with Pastor Kurt in Havre. So, you know, you need to realize, even though I'm encouraging you to let go of things this morning, if you're willing and you listen, God has blessings for you you can't imagine. When we will just be willing to let go of things in our lives. I will get to scriptures. Don't get discouraged. I'm also going to be talking about letting go of bitterness, anger, and especially sin. You know, sometimes we like to hang on to those things. We just do. We want to hang on to them. Not only do we like to hang on to them, but we like to share them over and over and over with others, especially our hard feelings, our sore feelings against someone else. And we want to relive it and have them commiserate and care about our awful problem and how bad we've been treated. This is not God's way. God is not pleased with that in our lives. So we're going to talk about that. This is a story I took from a devotional. And it's about a woman who had something bad against her parents for years. And for some of you, this is going to ring a bell. Her daughter asked, "Can I open it?" And she was holding up a large cardboard box, red with yellow flowers, that had found in the storage locker, and they were cleaning that out. I shook my head. "Oh, please, Mom, I want to see what it's like." In the box, unopened for 37 years, was my wedding dress. My mother had made the dress far away in an English village where I was born. It was beautiful, white silk, trimmed with lace and a long veil. She could sew better than anyone I've ever known. But my mother was not at my wedding. My mother did not see me walk down the aisle. My parents had disapproved of my husband-to-be without even meeting him. He was an American of a different religious denomination, and worst of all, he was a German. Now, my parents had lived through two horrific world wars. So finally, I said to my daughter, "Sweetheart, go ahead, open it if you like." And there it lay, slightly yellowed, but otherwise just as it had been all those years ago. I touched the skirt. The silk was smooth and gentle. And as I looked down at my fingers, I realized that even after my husband was accepted in my family and everyone was happy again, I had never stopped caring, never stopped being hurt and angry that my parents weren't there on that day that changed my life. I had never let go of the grudge I had against my parents. And as my daughter held up the dress saying, "Oh, Mom, it's beautiful," I looked at my hurt and anger, and I let it go forever. For some of you, you've been hurt by your parents in one way or another. And today you're still hanging on. You still share that story with people and revel in it. God wants you to let it go. Let it go in Him. Every one of us have suffered hurts, judgments, unkindness, maybe even sometime intentional. We have to learn in Christ. There's power and deliverance to let these things go. And the Bible verses that I'm going to talk about here at first is about a guy you don't hear preached about very much. And you'll probably be surprised to know it's Esau. We're going to talk about Esau in the Bible. Genesis 25, verses 29 through 33. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. And he said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of the red stew. I'm famished." That is why he also was called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is a birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling a birthright to Jacob. He gave up his birthright, the promise of a double portion when his father died. He gave it up. Didn't care about it. And Jacob cheated him out of it. But life went on with them as if nothing had happened. You know, a lot of times these bad things happen in our life, and life just goes on. We just go along. We're still nice little Christians, but somewhere there's that. Somewhere there's that. And even though it seemed like all was well, and nothing was going wrong, it was there in Esau's heart. He'd been cheated. He'd been used wrong. Verses in chapter 27, verses 1 through 10. 27, 1 through 10, this is about their father. When Isaac was old, his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see. He called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow. Go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah, his wife, was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully. Do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. And take it to your father to eat so he may give you his blessing before he dies. This is a bad situation, isn't it? Not only has Esau been tricked and cheated by his brother Jacob, but his mother's in on it now. You may have thought you were the only one that your mother did something bad to. Way back in the Bible, God has a story. Someone treated so poorly. She not only helped him, she led him in all of this. You remember the story I read? This lady, 37 years, held that in her heart that her mother and father didn't accept her husband and come to the wedding. Even though it had been glossed over, they all lived, they had a happy family in her heart. Folks, this morning we're talking about deep inside of you somewhere. Deep inside somewhere. That's something that you need to let go. Get out of your life. Now Esau certainly has plenty, doesn't he? Jacob and Rebekah gone to a lot of work to deceive Isaac the father. And they acted out that lie. When Jacob goes in to the father thinks the voice is Jacob. So he's wondering what's going on. Chapter 27, verses 14 through 19. So he went and got them, the goats, brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her oldest son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she'd made, and he went to his father. And he said, "My father." "Yes, my son." "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so you may give me your blessing." This is a bad situation. Isaac can't see. He's old. He's blind. And Jacob comes in with food the mother has prepared. Let's go on to verse 26 through 29. And his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and he said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you, peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. May the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." He gets the blessing. And after having the blessing that should have gone to Esau, he goes out. And not long after, Esau comes in. Esau comes in looking for the blessing. And it doesn't take just a moment for Isaac and Esau to realize what has happened. They've been betrayed. And Esau, once again, has been cheated out of everything. He already had lost the inheritance. And now, the blessing. Don't take it lightly when you say to someone, "The Lord bless you." That's powerful. That is powerful. If you receive that blessing, a person of God says that to you. That's powerful. This was powerful. The Father did this and gave all of that, and it would be so. The blessing on him. Now, maybe this morning, that thing that's in your life that God is speaking to you to get rid of, to let go, might be inheritance. How many people have been hurt by losing an inheritance, having an inheritance stolen from them? It's a terrible, hurtful, hurtful thing. Have what's rightfully yours snuck away by someone else, deceived away by someone else, or just plain given to someone else when it should have been yours. That may be your case this morning. God wants us to let go and let him make our hearts right. Verses 34 through 38, we're still in 27. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry, and he said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." He said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? He's deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, now he's taken my blessing." And he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants. I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." And Esau wept aloud. Terrible, terrible hurt. Terrible, terrible pain. Remember the lady in the story that I read you. For 37 years, holding that hurt, holding that grudge. She only hurt herself. 37 years, she hurt herself, not her parents. That's something you need to consider this morning. And you're thinking, "They were unfair. They did me wrong." You're asking too much to let that go. They need to be punished. There needs to be something done to pay them back. They should be hurt. These are all the feelings that come with a grudge, with bitterness in your heart. That's the kind of thinking and feeling. And you hurt yourself. You know, it's an old quote, but you hold a grudge to someone else is like taking poison yourself. Because that's who you hurt. That's who you hurt. Verse 41 in chapter 27. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near, and I will kill my brother Jacob." I'll kill him. He had a grudge. You might say, "Well, can you blame him?" But God would. God said, "No, do not Do not hang on to that. Jacob was sent away. He had to live in exile for many years. He lost his home, his family. He never saw his mother alive again. And after several years went by, many years, God spoke to Jacob and told him to go back there. That's a hard place to be if you're on the other end. You're the one that's hurt someone. You're the one that has done the damage. Here again, the Lord would speak to you this morning and say, you need to let it go. When you've done people wrong, you've been the one like Jacob, done wickedly. Ask God to forgive you and let it go. Because if you ask him to forgive you for doing that, it's done. It's gone. You let it go. So when you ask him to forgive you, ask him to help you not to think on that anymore, not to carry that on yourself anymore. I don't know how Jacob did it, but he evidently was able to live with himself, but he still knew. Now God's telling me to go back there. What's Esau going to do to me? Genesis 33, verse 4. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Esau let it go. He let it go. Now, it's very interesting that through the years, his people, which are Edomites, hated the Jews and fought with them, caused a lot of grief. And that's where you have Esau, Edom, and Jacob, Israel. So even though we see Esau has let it go, hugging his brother, kissing his brother, and they managed to be together and see their father pass away, and things were all hunky-dory. But before this day, all that time, somewhere in there, Esau has had to tell his people, my brother Jacob sneakily stole my birthright. And he would tell the story. He was starving, he was hungry, and all he wanted was a bowl of soup. And Jacob tricked him, got his birthright away, double portion of the inheritance. And he told his people, his family, whoever. And then this whole story that I've just read to you about going to the father dressed up and acting like Esau and stealing the blessing. He's told these people, because if he hadn't, why did all the Edomites hate the Israelites continually? Bad. The point I'm trying to make, folks, is whatever it is that you need to let go today, you have relished the thought and the action of sharing that with other people so they would pity you and see your side of it and take your side of it. We're like that. Oh, yeah, we are. And I'm sure that's what Esau did. That's why the Edomites hated the Jews. But now Esau's okay, everything is okay. But that's what happens. So that part of this message is for us to realize we have got to let it go and cleanse our hearts and minds and not carry this stuff to others and contaminate them. It's not supposed to be part of my message, and I hope you bear with me because I know I've been talking a long time. But yesterday, we had a family situation. And I was extremely upset. And because I was upset, I put that on some of my family. And they got upset. Right? Yeah. And when that was over, and I was alone with God, He took that away. The situation that I was upset about is still there. Not a problem. God took that away. Because I was willing to let it go. I wanted to let it go. I wanted God to have His way in our family. The situation might not turn out the way I wanted. It's all right. And I thought, you know, God, You have allowed all of this to bring this point to the people. It's so easy to get upset and hurt, wronged, if we think we're wronged, whatever, and want to share it with others and get them going. And I did that. God, forgive me. Let it go. I know there are things in some of you this morning that God is speaking to you. You need to get rid of. And there's a place here in this church where you can do that. Let's go to Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Says it all. It says it all. Don't miss God's grace in your life. With bitterness, with holding a grudge. When that happens in your life, you actually build a dam for God's blessing. They may trickle through on the side or in a crack somewhere, but you stop His grace. Listen, see that no one misses the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And that defile many is we let that bitterness grow up in us and then we share it and get other people in on it. And one of the hardest things in my life to let go has been because someone hurt someone in my family and I knew about it. And I love that person that was hurt and I've had to let go of the person that hurt them. That's been the hardest forgiveness in my life as a Christian. But God is able to do that in us. That we can forgive and we can let it be gone from our life. I'm going to close in prayer. And when I finish, they'll play a song for the altar call. And if you feel that God is speaking to your heart, not me, but the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come to the altar and let it go this morning. Would you stand?